Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is said to support a woman's right to choose to plan to be a parent. Yet, some accuse Planned Parenthood of targeting minorities, African Americans, blacks, and Hispanics in order to thin the herd or rid society of its undesirables. LifeSight in 2016 says, according to the CDC report, the rate of abortion among African American women is far higher than among white American women. While black women make up only 6% of the U.S. population, they account for 35% of the abortions reported. Abort73.com says, among black women, the current abortion ratio is 420? Well, that's a... Okay, it's got to be, man, that's crazy. Okay, that means that there are 420 abortions for every 1,000 live births. Statistically, 30% of black pregnancies end in abortion, excluding miscarriages. Among white women, the abortion ratio is 121 to 1,000 live births, which means that less than 11% of white pregnancies end in abortion. The abortion ratio among Hispanic women is 178% per 100, or 15% of pregnancies. Even though whites make up 63.7% of Americans' population, white women account for only 37% of its abortions. And this is a sad topic anyway, regardless. But we have a discrepancy here. By the latest count, approximately 2,614 human beings lost their lives to abortion each day in the United States. The CDC tells us that on an average, 19% are Hispanic, 36% are black, and 37% are white. That translates to approximately 497 Hispanic children, 941 black children, and 967 white children. Think about those numbers. Though the white population in the U.S. outnumbers the black population 5-1, abortion kills close to the same number of black children each day as it does white children. John Piper, a white pastor with a heart full of racial justice, remarks on the disparity of abortion. In 2014, a total of 303,844 blacks died in the United States. That same year, an estimated 954,000 abortions took place in the United States. If 36% were performed on black women, that means that 343,440 black babies were aborted. In other words, more blacks are killed by abortion each year in the United States than by all other causes combined. So this is a sad story. So in 2010, the black population in the United States stood just shy at 39 million. The CDC reports that during the 70s, roughly 24% of all U.S. abortions were performed on black women. That percentage rose to 30% in the 80s and 34% in the 90s, 36% in the 2000s. That means that about 31% of all U.S. abortions since 1973 have been performed on African-American women. Based on the January 2013 estimate, there have been 55.7 million abortions in the United States since 1973. We can deduce that approximately 17 million of the aborted babies were black. From 1973 to 2012, the abortion reduced the black population by 30%. From 1973 to 2012, abortion reduced the black population by 30%. Planned Parenthood founder Ms. Margaret Sanger is documented as saying, "We do not want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." Negro was the term for black people back in the 60s. As for anybody that's not getting that right there. So that's Margaret Sanger. She was, I guess she's quoted as saying that. So, Planned Parenthood and racism. Planned Parenthood said more African Americans have died from abortion than from AIDS, accidents, violent crimes, cancer, and heart disease combined, which I just kind of gave you all numbers that kind of supports that. They say that the since 1973, abortion has reduced the population over 25%, so that's still relative. Planned Parenthood operates the nation's largest chain of abortion clinics. They say that almost 80% of its facilities are located in minority neighborhoods. About 13% of American women are black, but they submit to over 35% of the abortions. So that's a disproportionate issue there. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, was active with the Ku Klux Klan and the eugenics movement in the beginning of the 20th century. The eugenics is a movement that is aimed at improving the genetic composition of the human race. Historically, eugenics advocated selective breeding to achieve these goals. This is based on the assumption that if I'm a good person, I have preferred attributes, that if I breed with someone else who has preferred attributes, we will produce a child that has those same attributes that are preferred and acceptable by our standards. So that's not scientific, but that's what they said. Today, Planned Parenthood is the number one provider of abortions in the United States and received over $350 million from taxpayers in 2009. They claim that they do much more than abort children. Their own figures tell a different story, they say. In 2007, they made only 5,000 adoption referrals while aborting over 300,000 children. So I guess, you know, they're in the abortion business. So, although it's true that Planned Parenthood's mission is to serve underserved communities, they are inadvertently still following the goal of Margaret Sanger, ridding the world of human beings who never should have been born. Protecting Black Life says in 2010. Census results reveal that Planned Parenthood is targeting minority neighborhoods. 79% of its surgical abortion facilities are located within the walking distance of African Americans and Hispanic or Latino neighborhoods. So are African Americans and Latino and Hispanics considered as undesirables in this country at some point and presently? That would be a question, and we know minorities were considered as undesirables in this country. So if you're trying to, you know, curb the birth of undesirables, then, you know, you kind of have a dilemma there because you have people trying to get reduce the population rate of minorities. Hispanics, Latinos, and African Americans. So, yes, Planned Parenthood targets and hurts poor black women from the Federalist. When Representative Gwen Moore uses the abortion industry's bad statistics in an attempt to absolve Planned Parenthood of its crimes against poor black women by Lewis L. Krumholtz in 2016, he says, he talks about these young women who had had abortion, came in sick with septic shock. He's seen a couple of them, and I think his wife had saw him because she works in a hospital and things like that. And people weren't using ultrasound, and it's like operating blindfold on the person that you're trying to abort the fetus. So he said the abortionist can feel around for fetal tissue, but doesn't want to feel around too much, as this would risk perforating, puncturing the lining of the uterus. So it's just a lot of, I guess he's saying it's a lot of bad, it's a lot of bad everybody out there, but since we're talking about abortion, there's a lot of bad people who perform abortions in a high-risk nature. So if a lot of abortions being performed on minorities, then they might be having that puts them at higher risk. So watch for the statistical dodge. More beings by citing a commonly used, okay, did I talk about Guttmacher Institute statistic? No, I didn't talk about them. So anyway, they are the Planned Parenthood's research arm. They say that 4 in 1 in 10 abortion providers are in majority black neighborhoods. They say that's not true. They say 4 in 1 out in 10 abortion providers are in majority black neighborhoods. So the Guttmacher Institute is a leading research and policy organization committed to advancing sexual and reproductive health and rights in the United States and globally. So they say that black Americans comprise only 12% of the U.S. population. Relatively few areas in America are majority black. Okay. By neighborhood, Guttmacher means zip code. Only 2-4% of U.S. zip codes have a majority black population. Only 3% of counties have majority black population. So they saying it makes good business sense for Planned Parenthood to reside in urban areas with high concentrations of people, of which a high portion are poor. Because if you have money, you have a child, you probably can afford to take care of. But if you're very poor, you may not can afford another mouth to feed, or you might not can afford a mouth to feed. It might impact on your decision to have an abortion, just being impoverished. And then we know that many minorities are impoverished. And there are many white folks impoverished also. So I would imagine poor white folks are somewhere in that number also. So he says, they go on to say, this group pointed out that 79% of Planned Parenthood surgical abortion facilities are located within a 2-mile radius or walking distance of a black Hispanic neighborhood. They said that's a misleading statistic, what they said, what I just read to you about the 1 in 10. And they go on to say, one said 80 or 80% of them. This is saying 79. The majority population, it said that the majority population at or above 50%, majority population at least 1.5 times higher than the average percentage of the surrounding county. That's what they call the majority population to be black or whatever minority you're looking for. A minority population equal to or greater than the average national minority population. Or 12.6% African American or 16.3% Hispanic or Latin American. So that sounds like some gerrymandering to me. So, you know, some people just trying to just make that, you know, fit something that they wanted. Abortions of black children make up almost 40% of the total U.S. abortions each year. We're not 40% of the population again. We're somewhere around at 12-13% of the U.S. population. Despite black Americans comprising only 12% of the population, about. So may not be exact numbers. So poverty alone does not explain the high black abortion rate. There are almost twice as many poor whites as there are poor blacks in America. Yet black women who live below the federal poverty line contribute to 14% of the nation's abortions, while poor white women contribute to only 11.7% of the nation's abortions. We have a caller on 7914. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi, Carlton. How you doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
I've been listening to your show, and I'm thinking back as you're talking about abortions and Planned Parenthood and everything, and I can remember, I guess it's been 2 or 3, 4 years ago, in my neighborhood, it was an abortion clinic, and it was there for several years, and it was run by a doctor named Kermit Goshnell, and he's a black man, and he's now serving I don't know whether it's life or many, I think it's life in prison, because he was performing abortions on women, and a few people had died, you know, because of his.
Was he performing legal abortions or illegal abortions?
I think they were legal, but some of them were very late term. And I guess there's one woman who, you know, died, her family, you know, was pressing the issue because I guess it was a late term abortion. And this abortion clinic was, you know, there for many years. And they even had arrested some of his, the staff that worked there, I guess for their part. You know, maybe they let the women go home and they weren't in good condition. You know, when you do a late term abortion, you know, it's very dangerous and risky. But, you know, he is in jail now, and I'm pretty sure he got life in prison. And he's already an older man himself. But I was just thinking about him. I just wanted to, you know, share that because, you know, this is pretty much black neighborhood. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is not Planned Parenthood, but these abortion clinics are probably all over, not just Planned Parenthood.
No, Gosnell is one clinic. Planned Parenthood are many. The conglomerate, so there's no comparison. But are you trying to imply that Gosnell is contributing, is targeting the black community?
Possibly, yeah. Because that's where his...
Are you or not? No, that's a yes or no.
Yeah.
So Dr. Gosnell is trying to impede the birth rate of the black community because he feels that they are inferior stock or something like that. He's practicing eugenics. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not sure why he was doing it, but for him to be performing late-term abortions, which puts women at risk, you know, it's very dangerous when you have an abortion when you're in your fifth and sixth month, and that's what I believe he was doing. And women have died.
Right. Okay. I'm asking you a question in terms of is he targeting minorities to reduce the population of minorities? Do you think that he's doing that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
He's just some bad practice here.
Bad practices, and I think, you know, money. You know, he was making a lot of money, you know, performing these abortions, and the cost of a late term abortion is more than an early abortion, so he probably was making a lot of money.
Okay, so he's not particularly he's offering a service to the community because he's a black man in the black community, offering a service. This case would be terminations of fetal terminations. But he's not necessarily trying to put a dent in the population of the minority population.
Yeah,
I don't
believe that was his motive. I think his motive was, you know, money. You know, he wanted that money.
Right.
And I'm looking on right now. There's 4 Planned Parenthoods in the city of Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and 2 of them are in the far northeast. And
what's the far northeast? What is that?
It's a section of Philadelphia, pretty much predominantly white. And
no, actually,
another one.
Where in the far northeast? Where? What street?
Let me go back. This one is in Center City. One is on Castor Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is...
Is that the far northeast you're talking about, Castor Avenue?
Yes. Uh-huh. And the other one is... Oh, this one's on Chestnut Street. 2 of them are in Center City. And there's another one, but it's not coming up Comley Road. And that's in the way far northeast. So there's 2 of them in Center City, Philadelphia, and 2 of them are in the far northeast. Mm-hmm. And I see one in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Camden, New mm-hmm. Jersey. There's several of them in New Jersey. I'm just giving you what Planned Parenthoods are in Philadelphia.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, we got a caller. I'll give you a little overview of Philadelphia Planned Parenthood. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. 9042. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought, 9042.
Yeah, are you speaking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. In the beginning of your, topic, you gave powerful statistics, which I've heard a lot of before. First of all, what website did you get that from?
Oh, man, I don't have all the websites. I said the name of them. Let me see. Life Site 2016.
What is it? Life?
Life, SITE 2016. Then abort.
Life Site.
Seven.
Wait, it's Life and Site. What's the next one?
Life Site 2016. Right.
Uh huh.
Then abort73.com.
Wait a minute. All that's a part of it, huh? Abort. Wait a minute. Abort, what's the next part?
73.com.
73.com. That's a long
right.
title, ain't it? Life
no, site. That's two titles. Those are two. Those are two.
Oh, you gave me two sites or one site?
I gave you two.
Oh, wait, I'm confused. Life site, is that one?
Yeah, I gave you two.
Okay, life site. 2016, is that one?
Right.
Right, and then abort73.com?
Right.
But what's the address after 2016 for LifeSite?
Oh, I can't give you that right now, but I'm going to show.
Oh,
but,
you can't give me, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I've heard right. what you said before of another program. Those are raw statistics. And you mentioned 17 million African-Americans since 1973. That's like half our population based on what we have now. And the single woman was a racist. She was a racist. And from Hillary Clinton saw her as a hero.
Right.
But she didn't do homework. But she didn't do homework. And Hillary's a lawyer. Yeah, that's a hero.
Well, I don't know why she saw. What? Why did she say she was a hero?
Yeah. Because she's taking a stand for women's rights, but she should have been deeper and saw what this woman was speaking about. Back then,
mm-hmm.
But this. Besides the shooting and the deaths and whatnot, and health of our people overall, it's just like, if you're not playing, hopefully not, but it's like destroying the Afro-American that we know of. That many people dead since 1973, it's unbelievable.
Right.
But it's true.
So
my point is,
what do you think is contributing to that?
What I can contribute to that is
is contributing to the blacks on people having these abortions?
Oh, yeah. Well,
17 million aborted babies.
Well, people lose hope. When an individual or collectively lose hope, they figure, I've heard 20, 30 years ago that a young person, a black young person, don't think they'll live to be 21. And they said that 30 and 40 years ago, and I think they probably still say that now. That's an individual or a group of individuals without hope. And if they're hoping the world doing it right, forget it. Forget it. I'm a born-again Christian, so I look at the prospect of the bigger picture, that through our own efforts, and raising our children, being there for them, no matter what our economics is, loving on our children, fighting to get my men out of jail, better lawyers, better jailhouse lawyers, whatever. Too many of our men, 1 million of them are sitting in jail. And many of them are fathers and uncles and Well, now, some are guilty. We got that. And those that are guilty of this really violent crime, that's where they need to be. But I think a nonviolent crime should be looked at again. To break up a family is more costly than putting that individual behind bars for a nonviolent crime. He or she should be made or find a way to pay their debt to society. But to save us, our people need to come together and say, look, if they didn't harm someone, you know, they need not be in jail all this time. Just like this opioid crisis, they've been killing, dope and killing our people for 40 or 50 years, and they went to jail for this so-called addiction, they call it now, only because it attacks their people, Caucasian, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been attacking our people for 50 years, and they went to jail for long terms. They couldn't get the guy that bought the dope and that don't look like us.
Right.
So they get the little pusher man on the corner instead of getting him help. He might have a hope. So there's many causes, but it's still laid back in the black family, particularly the male role in the family. You know, loving on them, caring about them, not loving and making weak. I mean, these kids hang on the corner, they're allowed to hang on the corners. You know, the things like putting out the trash. Or learning. My brothers, who are 65 and 64, at a young age, they put out the trash, they learn how to cook, they learn how to do laundry. We're talking about 40 and 50 years ago, they did that. So it starts at the birth level and how that parent raised that child, particularly our male blacks, you know, command that they go to school, which they do, command that they get a good education, but meanwhile, go to the libraries and upgrade their education. If the schooling where it should be, it ain't going to change overnight. It's been like that for 40, 50 years, and with the lack of money, allegedly, it ain't going to change better overnight. So what do a parent do? I took my young lady, I raised two nieces. I was blessed to raise two nieces. We went to the library. They went, every trip to the school had, they went. Museums, all the things they exposed to. My youngest, my oldest, he tap dance, learned ballet, sacrificed financially, but I want to expose her to them. So there's a lot of things to give our children hope. Take them to places that are free. There's a lot of activity even now, this month. It's free. Take the children there. Don't send them with the older person. You as a parent, if you're single parent or married, take your children there. Create hopeful memories. And speak in hope in their life. You got to speak it in their life on a regular basis, not daily. So in spite of all the things they see. Yeah.
Oh, so those children are here, but tonight we're talking about kids that don't get a chance to show up. So there's no taking them to to a show or
right.
Nurturing them because parents prepared to be parents. They might be prepared to be a parent, but not a co-parent with the
Person,
you know what I'm saying? Life. Right.
Right.
So
right.
So it may be a rape that has been committed. I don't know. You know, we don't know.
It could
but
be, yeah.
Here's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
So how
rape,
how do
yeah.
Right. So how do you change this current trend? And I'm not saying it's
right,
trendy
right.
to get an abortion. I'm just
right,
saying
right.
How do we nurture the mothers? Or the
right.
or before their mothers. How do we educate them and nurture them? Because there's two things. One to prevent being unwanted pregnancy, right? And the other is to and say maybe keep the child. But how do you do that? I mean, if the reason is I'm in poverty, I can't afford a child, or I'm in college.
Right.
This is gonna mess up my I got a test to take. You know,
so,
I'm a flunk this whole quarter. Or two quarters, or a whole year. You know, I don't know. Depending on what kind of pregnancy you had.
you help them get a pathway that say you still can make it and bring forth a child. At the least, they can adopt. There's too many people that can't have children. I think it's sort of even out. There's mothers that can't produce a child. And they go for years trying to go to and get a child. So I think there should be more information out there on how to encourage people to adopt. I think those young parents, they say, if you don't want the child, you know, we'll pay for the delivery and, you know, the pre-care and all that. And encourage
What if they don't want to carry a child? It's not just the child after it's born.
I personally would not advocate them aborting the child on my level. And there's others on the other side would say abort. So me personally would never say to them abort. I would say, you get through it. You and the billion other people, how many people lived on this planet since the beginning, will get the pregnancy. You'll get it done. And you don't have to even see the child if you don't want to. You know, they can take the child after, you know, the child is born, they take it to their parent or people.
Apparently they don't want to get that far with it.
But you offer them. You give them ultrasounds. My oldest, in 8 weeks, they did an ultrasound because she was sick. So they did an ultrasound. I'm thinking I'm hearing her heartbeat. At 8 weeks, their heartbeat was so strong. It's just amazing. 2 months old and a heartbeat.
That's interesting.
So give them
8 weeks,
let
you
them
said?
Hear the heartbeat.
You said 8 weeks?
8 weeks.
Did you say 8 weeks? That's
when
most abortions take place.
Heartbeat was strong. I said, this is 8 weeks and heart that strong? Of course, the sound was magnified because it was a new ultrasound. Yeah, it's ultrasound, right? Mm. Yeah, we see. Yeah, right. But I was just stunned. I'm taking a hand in the mother's heartbeat. And the doctor said, no, that's the baby's heartbeat. So introduce them to that sound, you know. But at the end of the day, if they choose to go forward, then they have to live with it because there are some consequences down the road. You know, they go to college and they get their degree. But the lingering effect for most, not all, maybe all don't feel the same way. But I'm hearing statistically also that those women that got abortion down the road in their life, they have regrets. And there's some medical problems that might occur, I'm hearing, you know, because I've never been through that, so I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can only go by what they say medically. Medically, they say there's some things that go on. But definitely emotionally, down the road, called the consequences. Some can live with it, and some cannot. It's their call.
Right.
But do everything to help say this is decided that it can happen. We can take the child. You don't have to look at the child. You don't have to even know the sex of the child. And if they don't ever want to know the child, they can seal their records. At least until the 18, I think there's a new law where until the 18 it'd be sealed or whatever how that works, you know, whatnot. Because they do go after the child of that situation, go seek their biological parents, and they've changed the rule. So that on my side, that's where I was staying, and I won't be moved from that. But I realized the other advocate will say what they want to say. And at the end of the day, that individual is going to make a decision that she can live with. And also, I'm wondering if all these fathers are being notified, and the grandparent on the other side, because there's another side that we not explore. Do the father of the child don't want it, or do the grandparent? Because the grandparent say, look, give it to us. You know, so I don't know if that's being, you know, looked into.
Right.
You know, way before they abort their child. You know, everything they can do is say, look, the grandma want it. Grandfather want the child. Just bring it forth. You'll get through it. And they will. They will get through it. So that's what I feel It's a lot. It's too much. You know what I'm saying? But those are things that can be done today. Those are the issues that could be addressed today. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you for
the
opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, we have another caller, 36. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Q?
Q. You
hear me?
What's that? Yeah, I hear you.
How you doing, Carlton?
All right.
Good evening, callers and listeners. I don't know if the abortion numbers you're talking about is part of the whole great conspiracy to get rid of the African-American community, but it just kind of plays out that way. Seems like to me that some people need to maybe make better choices as far as like birth control,
right.
You know, contraceptives and things like that, because I'm thinking that maybe in our community that was driving the numbers of it, people was using birth control using abortion more as a method of birth control, rather than being that whole conspiracy, particularly like, you may have like one person having numerous abortions, I think that would be like a sign of that. But it's just strange how when we have certain resources, I guess, or things available to us, that when we use them, it kind of plays out to one of those conspiracies of something to either kill members of our community or just to damage our community, stop our community from growing and things like that. Just like with drugs and guns, these aren't things that we make or grow in our community, but when we get access to them, they have a very bad effect on our community, or it doesn't help our community to grow or to, it has a bad effect on our community.
Puts us at risk. Right.
Right. Yeah,
go ahead.
I think birth control, even though it may have started out as a tool from someone that had really bad intentions for our community, I think people are in our community are using it for what they think is best for them, and it kind of looks that way. But I don't think it's, I don't think it's the effort to destroy our community is being played out in, the way that it wasn't intentionally playing.
In terms of Planned Parenthood, you mean?
I don't think they're making the people, get the abortions or anything like that. Like what they used to do with the retarded people and things like that.
Right. Right. They're not forcing them. What they're saying, I'm making it available. Like dope.
Right.
I'm not forcing you to use dope, but I'm going to make it available in your community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That kind of thing. So it's encouraged. So, and then you have a population who's depressed, right? And have all whatever types of issues, traumatized, all kinds of things going on with them, and it's not so just black population. They said Hispanics, minorities. So seems like maybe.
So you're saying that is the plan? Just make it available for them, and they'll gravitate towards
it. That's what they're saying. That the evidence points to whether or not it's a plan or not. The evidence points to contributing to the depopulation of minorities, particularly for some reason, every time we have a show about stuff like this, like murder, the African American, like you said, population is disproportionate, or the minority population, right. Even Hispanics. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of them. But the African-American population is like, wow. You know what I'm saying? The prison population, right. Like we, come on now. We're only 13% of the population in the United States, but we almost have the prison population. You know what I'm saying? We got this homicide, enormous homicide rate. You know, what is going on with the African-American? How is the world impacting on the African-American community that's causing us, you know, to have these type of, come up with these type of numbers and these type of situations? You know what I'm saying? And yet, lots of poor white people, even though it's the percentage is different, but, you know, look at the African-American community is being hit pretty hard. Plus, they kind of quoted Sanger as saying some things that kind of led them to believe and being associated with the eugenics movement. You know, that was the Germans and stuff like that practiced that, you know, ethnic cleansing and stuff like that. So that's not really a good look for her. You know what I'm saying? Even if she's just pushing, using it to ride the wave to push free choice, you know what I'm saying, if you want to be a parent or not. But like you kind of alluded to in the beginning of your conversation that, especially in contemporary times, if you don't want to be a parent, maybe you should do the things, think first, you know, and do the things that will prevent you from being a parent, that use that choice before you end up in this situation, you know what I'm saying? So either way you put it, it's going to be, you know, if we do not produce any group of people fail to produce, reproduce, I mean, you know, your mortality rate is high, then you, what's going to happen? We got a lot of people in jail. They ain't making no kids, right? We got drug addicts, right? We got, you know, and sure, we got doctors and lawyers, athletes and stuff like that, teachers, good parents and stuff like that, but we have a disproportionate amount, and I'm not saying whether they belong there or not, and maybe there are circumstances that contribute to them being there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's a lot of things. It's not just like why are all these why so much abortion amongst the African American community? You know what I'm saying? We could talk about the hypersexuality of the society. And, you know, maybe it's just luck of the draw. I don't know. Is it a biological thing? I don't know. Is it genetics that, you know, that in terms of bringing forth children? I don't know. You know, it takes a certain period, time of the month in order to even produce a child. So I don't know. You know, what is it? Is it economics that have, you know, if there wasn't no poverty among blacks, where we have this, disparity in our number of aborted children. You know what I'm saying? Would we? Do you think that we would,
you know,
or not? Do we think that?
I bet it's a number of those things that you just said, not just any one thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah,
I think also what that lady was saying, that the previous caller was saying about educating our people and everything like that. Maybe they need more motivation to be, you know, be more educated about how to take care of themselves. Because every day they're getting bombarded with those images, you know, those songs on the radio every day, telling them about dropping it low and everything. And, you know what I mean? All that,
right, hypersexuality, right.
Hypersexuality,
right.
All those videos and everything.
Right.
A lot of the shows that they have is, you know, they don't seem to be promoting, you know, safe, you know, safe sex or whatever, or good decision making as far as sex is concerned, things like that. But you know, I think it's a lot of things we need in order to help us.
So birth control, right? I know that's what you're talking about, right? Birth control. Let's look at the birth control, because you have abortion, right? And birth control, that's like a pre-abortion. Because if I'm not going to have any children, that's almost as bad as aborting one. You know what I'm saying? Only difference is that you have like the lady said, you got a heartbeat at 8 weeks, I'm saying. Like, and they're saying that's when a lot of abortions take 8 to 12 weeks, that's when most of them are taking place.
Right.
So, you know, so if you choose not to have a child, right, then we still have a problem here with the population, repopulation. You know what I'm saying? Reproduction of the population. We still have a similar problem. I mean, the end result is almost the same. You know what I'm saying? The only difference is once you actually, you know, terminating, you know, a fetus, and the other one, you preventing the fetus from, you know, developing, recurring. Yeah.
Right.
So, but the end result is still the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have
but
to
I would think that
reproduce.
I would think at some point, though, if you're using birth control, that maybe in the future you probably wouldn't use it when you get to a better situation where you're ready to have children. Whereas if you're aborting children all the time, maybe that kind of like hinders your ability to have children.
It might. From what I'm seeing, back in the day, I was reading, they said that they stuck coat hangers, bicycle sprockets, all toxins.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. I didn't know it was like that. But I know I seen it in the movie with the coat hanger thing. I'm just figuring that's just like a whack or something like that. And not like the practice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they just stick stuff
right.
up there. They said women were throwing themselves down steps to have, you know, to induce a miscarriage and stuff like that because they didn't want a child. But that was back when they didn't have some of the resources that they have now. You know, and it's not just, maybe you don't always need to take a pill. You know, I heard about the rhythm method and things like that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying back to, in terms of reproducing, we still need to reproduce at a rate higher than we are dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or else we're going to be, you know, we're going to be like the elephant, right? And the lion.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be in that type of scenario. You know, and it's real because these guys right here got numbers to support it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just an abortion. That's these just folks that never got here. Then we got folks, then we got the homicide rate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, and then you got accidental deaths among us, which is not that high as the homicide rate. But, you know, we got if you put all that stuff together, we have risk. You know, so they say the reason why they say Margaret Sanger talked about birth control being used to facilitate the process of weeding out the unfit and preventing the birth of defectives. So that means that you got anything wrong. You remember that movie Sparta? I think they throw the baby away. The baby wasn't no good. They throw him down the hill.
Right.
Right. So it's that type of thing. So, see, you're weeding out undesirables. If you talk about undesirables, or they call them, she referred to them as weeds, people as weeds, like, you know. But back in the 20s, right, who were the undesirables in this country, openly?
The Negroes.
You see what I'm saying?
1920s,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't hear you.
I said the Negroes were the undesirable.
The Negroes, that's right. The colored folks, that's right. You know what I'm saying?
Colored folks.
Were they Negroes
right.
in the 20s or were they just straight niggas?
I think they were Negroes.
Oh, okay. Well, that, you know what I'm saying? So if you're looking at it like that, those not ready to, if you're not ready to be a parent, I could imagine most people, a lot of people that are impoverished are not ready to take on the task of having a child that they can't take care of.
Right.
Right? So, but we can't have negative on reproduction, right?
Correct.
Can't have that. You know, and poverty is systemic. That's not, you just don't make a mistake, wrong turn, and you end up impoverished. That's a systemic condition. I'm just poverty, you know, like a cold. You don't catch it, you know what I mean? I caught poverty. You know, it's not happening that way. Right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, they're saying Margaret said in 1939 in the Negro Project, we don't want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out the idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Say, I don't know if you know, but they use our religion to calm black folks. You know what I'm saying? Because they're very spiritual and religious. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what they said, the lady said. Clarence Gamble, president of the American Eugenics Research Association, said there was a greater danger that we will fail because the Negroes think it a plan for extermination. Hence, let's appear to let the colored run it as we appear to let the South do the conference in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So what they did was they hired a full-time Negro consultant in 1944 for Planned Parenthood.
Oh.
So that kind of talk could get you in trouble.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. Saying that the nation needed to follow the drastic immigration laws of 1924 with methods to cut down on the rapid multiplication of the unfit and the undesirable at home. You know what I'm saying? They might have been talking about some white folks right there, because ain't that when Lucky Luciano and them came over here? And when the Italians was coming over? Yeah, so they might have been even talking about some of them. And so, because it started off as being something that our middle class, white college students and stuff was using in service. And then all of a sudden it just switched to the minorities. So, you know, I don't know Margaret Sanger. I just know what they say about her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sanger, I'm called for the elimination of human weeds, for the cessation of charity, for the segregation of morons, misfits, and maladjusted, and for the sterilization of genetically inferior races. That's some Hitler stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight out of the Hitler handbook. Huh? But she said she's not a Nazi, and she... Huh? Yeah, but she said she's not a Nazi, and she supported people who were against the Nazis. So just to give you the, you know, I'm just, because I'm going to say what, you know, both sides, you know what I'm saying? And people, you know, what's...
He's not a Nazi.
She said.
Had the same views on certain things.
Right. There you go. That's saying some of the same.
I have
right.
Similar views
some of the,
on certain things.
Right. Right. All right. So, you know. It's just really sad story here, though, you know, that the fact that many people are aborting children. We have 90 seconds left. I want to thank all callers for calling in. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show, the creator for everything. And stay tuned on next week. I think we're going to have a guest on about the Bitcoin. Hopefully, it'll be successful. Everyone, thanks for calling in, Q. Caller previously. Everyone, thank you.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.